Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's time to talk restaurant openings and closings in the St. Louis area. With me for this monthly dish, I've got a table for two ready to dig in. St. Louis Public Radio's digital editor, Jessica Rogan. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thanks, Lane.
And also with us is STLPR morning anchor and host of the Gateway podcast, Abby Larico. Hello to you again, Abby.
Always happy to be at this table, Elaine.
So in the spirit of spring, let's start with a couple of openings first. Now, Jessica, I love a good biscuit. What is it now that's available in the Grove?
Yeah, so within Neon Greens, which is the salad place in the Grove, owner Josh Smith decided, hey, you know what makes sense to go with salads? Breakfast biscuit concept. Okay. So on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, starting at 8, you can go in and get a homemade biscuit and biscuit sandwiches like huevos rancheros and jerk chicken. So a little bit unusual. And they have eggs too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 11, it turns right back to salads. And if you're not familiar with Neon Greens, it's kind of an interesting salad concept because they grow all their greens in like hydroponics, right next door.
Right, right. So when St. Louis native and OpenAI and ChatGPT CEO Sam Altman was here last year, he said he was headed to Neon Greens right after our interview because Neon Greens folks had used ChatGPT to devise some recipes. Is there any indication that they'll be doing that with biscuits?
You know, I had not heard that. But, you know, Neon Greens is very forward thinking, so that makes sense. To my knowledge, no ChatGPT, but, you know, that doesn't mean they're not using the little the AI cheat to come up with some concepts.
Yeah. And Nation's Restaurant News, by the way, just gave a shout out to Neon Greens for being one of the rookies of the year for their transparency and just like the innovation that they're doing there. So, I mean, it'll be exciting to see how they do the biscuits. I guess they don't maybe have chickens on site, too, but that would be on brand.
That would be great.
They should.
Yeah.
So let's stay in the Grove. What else is happening there of note, Jessica?
Yeah. So one really big and anticipated opening this month comes from Ben Welch, who's a James Beard nominated chef, who's been in the St. Louis scene for quite a while. He's opened a dual concept in what was the Beast Barbecue space in the Grove. It's two concepts called Lucy Quinn and Little Lucy. You know, he does Southern inflected food, and he's calling this an homage to his, you know, family roots. Lucy Quinn was the name of his maternal grandmother.
Okay.
And Lucy Quinn is like a little more formal, like bigger dishes, and they also have brunch, you know, things like pastrami, and then like for, you know, brunch, you know, very Southern brunch, like a crab beignet really caught my eye, like that kind of like rich, indulgent pimento cheeses, like it looks really good.
Yeah.
And then Little Lucy is more like a casual concept. The look of it inside is very different. Like the walls are like this bright pink color. It has a very casual vibe.
So speaking of breakfast, Abby, there is a new place in Eureka. We're going to travel a little bit from the city where Silver Spoon Donut and Deli once was. Tell us about Dough Crazy.
Dough Crazy. I think you have to like shout it. Dough Crazy, folks, right? That is, of course, a familiar rallying cry to St. Louis Cardinals fans here. And with Jack Buck's rally cry. This breakfast and lunch cafe in Eureka definitely gives those big local vibes. And I think it's cool to be able to highlight that people are doing local things local to not just St. Louis City or, say, like the closest ring of St. Louis County. It has the bright colors and all the branding. It has big sandwiches. And the owner, William White, told St. Louis Magazine that he hopes to eventually make pizza as well. So a promising local hangout spot there with definitely local flair, even in the name.
Yep. So, Jessica, we've not talked a whole lot yet about breakfast spots when we've done these monthly restaurant openings and closings, but that doesn't seem to be the case this month. I mean, is there a trend that we're looking at here?
I mean, breakfast is always on trend, I would say, but if I'm thinking about it, you know, maybe it makes sense to have more breakfast places as the weather gets nicer and people want to go out and, you know, have a great biscuit or, you know, donut or anything. And, you know, there's something summery about breakfast, I think.
Mm-hmm. As our morning anchor, Abby, does breakfast more broadly available excite you?
It's the best thing ever. It's my favorite meal. I love to see it. I'm excited to see more of those concepts coming back. And it's really just an opportunity, too, to gather during the day because, don't invite me out after 7 p.m. Actually, invite me out still, but I'll just say no. I love to get together with folks and having more opportunities to do so during the sunny hours of the daytime, especially with the variety that we're seeing here in St. Louis. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm still on air in the early morning.
Of course.
They don't have to open too early.
Yeah. Well, if they're serving at least until 11 or 12,
exactly.
It gives you a little more time,
There you go.
So there is a place on the list this month, which is a combo of opening and closing and opening again. And we talked about Mom's Deli, the longtime Southwest St. Louis staple, last month. I mean, so it's no longer closed, Jessica?
Well, it is still closed for the moment. But on Facebook, the restaurant announced that it is coming back, much to the relief of the hordes of St. Louisans who poured in there for one last sandwich before it was going to close. They've acquired premises on Hampton. It was Dado's Cafe before then. Denise Vago, the owner, said, we don't have an opening date yet, but, keep your eyes peeled on social media. We're coming back.
Mm-hmm. That must be welcome news for a lot of people. We're talking today with Jessica Rogan, who is St. Louis Public Radio's digital editor, and Abby Lurico, our morning anchor and host of the Gateway podcast here at STLPR. And we're doing our monthly roundup of restaurants that have both closed or opened. So during our 314-day show this year, KV the writer talked about places she misses, and she mentioned Master Pizza on Cherokee. Abby, for you as a St. Charles native, is there a spot that you wish could make a comeback?
Yes, I'm sure. I spent a lot of time on St. Charles Main Street as a young teen, and honestly, the first thing I think of is the Bread Co. down there on the corner. But that was when Bread Co. still had OG Bread Co. vibes,
Right.
But then I'm thinking about places like R.T. Weiler's, which was a dog-friendly restaurant where they served food for kids in dog bowls, and I got such a kick out of that. Or Trailhead Brewing, which has since been Schlafly at the Bankside, and then now it's hopefully going to be something else once the building itself gets a little more sorted out. But Main Street has seen so much growth, and it's been really wonderful to see. But I do think about the places that were really popular back, years ago, that kind of before the hordes of tourists came to Main Street they do now.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's a place that used to start with the letter B that had excellent Belgian waffles. It was the first time in my life I had a Belgian waffle.
Oh.
And I'm blanking on the name now. So if anybody remembers it, please let me know.
Yes. Send us an email at talk@stlpr.com.
Forward that to me.
Right. For those who are new to St. Louis, as I once was, I did not know what Bread Co. was. This is what you call Panera when you're here, because Breadco is the OG.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about two more closings. Jessica, the first one that you noted is inside City Foundry, and that is the food hall in Midtown St. Louis. Century Coffee is closing its doors. Do we know why?
We don't know why. Century Coffee is a little interesting because it's actually was opened by the City Foundry owners, new and found. So they had gotten a lot of requests to have a coffee shop because there is no coffee there otherwise. Opened in, December 23. Matt Foster, who was, around in the St. Louis bar and coffee scene, was heading that up, and they were a multi-roaster, so that just means they were like bringing in a lot of different local roasted coffees and serving it. And I was like, how can City Foundry be without a coffee place? But I've heard that we actually are going to get a Sylvie D's there instead. So that's a little ice cream coffee place that right now is in Webster on Big Ben.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. So we can look forward to some caffeine, hopefully, in the future there.
And ice cream.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of frozen desserts, another form is gelato. And Gelateria on South Grand has encountered a pretty big issue and has closed temporarily. Jessica, what happened there?
Yeah, so this is a sad one. So on March 7th, and fire started in the basement, overnight. They don't really know why. I think it was probably electrical. And it really destroyed what it was a very beloved coffee shop and gelateria and food. And it spread also to the cleaners next door and a little bit of the apartment buildings that are in that area. The owner, Andy Fair, there was no option. They had to close shop temporarily.
Abby, what was your reaction to hearing about that fire at Gelateria?
I saw it early that morning on social media, actually, they had posted. And it's heartbreaking because talking about St. Charles Main Street, that was then for me. Now South Grand is like my new Main Street as a city resident. And as Jessica mentioned, everything's so close there. And so my first reaction seemed to be just a small sign of what the community reaction would be, which is what can we do to help? And as Jessica mentioned, too, it's so beloved. So seeing local restaurants on South Grand step up and say, hey, we're going to be donating a portion of our proceeds, or hey, make sure you share some love with them and keep following them on social media so that we can stay abreast of what ultimately happens when they are hopefully able to reopen. I thought it was just it's sad, but it's kind of that bittersweet thing you see when something like this happens. And by the way, they did post on social media later, I think that day or the day after, that they needed to get rid of all their gelato.
Right.
And
right.
The community response was quick. I think that they were out within 30 minutes, maybe.
Oh, there were people queuing around the block for that.
Yeah.
Gelato.
Okay. So hopefully all those folks are back when they are open and selling their gelato to help them recover too.
And I think I saw community response from artists who have found that place to be a space to really think through some of their creative ideas and, finding ways to give back. And Jessica, you did have a chance to talk with the owner there. What is it that he told you?
Yeah, so I talked with Andy yesterday, and he told me that, at the moment, they're waiting for insurance to come through before they make their next move. But he doesn't think the actual space is going to be reopened for about a year and a half. I mean, I know it's a little early in the process, so you don't know. But that's what his thinking is. They did launch a GoFundMe with like a 100K goal, and they've almost made it there, but it's still open.
Okay.
And like you mentioned, a lot of places are doing benefits for them. He's hoping to open a walk-up window, and they're like, they have a little production space where they're making the gelato that's actually behind the coffee shop, was not damaged, and they still have their beautiful patio. So. Looking forward to maybe this summer, depending on permitting from the city, having that open. And another thing he said that really hit me hard was, this is a hard industry even when things are going well, yeah. never mind when a fire. And, you know, they were really working on trying to figure out how to make it profitable. They'd added like a new food menu or had gotten a liquor license. And things were, you know, it was hard. And now it's even harder. But he was, you know, just so grateful for the response mm-hmm. from everyone. Mm-hmm.
Let's move to the openings and go through these pretty quickly. Busch Stadium has been trying to keep pace with what has been going on at Energizer Park, which is St. Louis City SC's stadium. Mm-hmm. And the Cards have started their season and begun with wins. What's now going to be at concessions at Busch Stadium, Abby?
Yeah, they have a local place that is not unfamiliar to traveling baseball teams, actually, to Busch Stadium, which is Mayo Ketchup, which has been doing the catering for Busch Stadium for some visiting teams for a while. They do Puerto Rican, Cuban cuisine. So it's cool to have that outpost of a local place there. Mm-hmm. But then you also have Freddy's Frozen Custard, Session Taco, which is actually just, as a reminder, the rebrand of Mission Taco. But
right.
if you look at it and see, it's a new name, but still worth giving a try. My favorite name, though, probably is Intentional Walk.
W-O-K.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love a baseball pun. And it's, you know, different proteins over rice or noodles, so that kind of stadium-friendly Chinese food, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I would try it just for the name.
Yeah.
So.
And there will also be bacon-wrapped hot dogs, I understand.
So that's already offered at Busch Stadium. Now they're going to be offered at more places.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's big news.
Right.
Bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly.
And like Hot Dog Hoyer, our executive producer. So there also will be crumble cookies coming. I mean, crumble is crumbling everywhere. Jessica, have you had a crumble cookie?
I have not had a crumble cookie. I want to have a crumble cookie. So maybe I'll need to go to the ballpark to get one. But, you know, if you're not familiar, they're like this social media famous cookie. People like try them every month and like, you know, review them on social media.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sweets and now going around town, I'd like to hear, Abby, about one that's giving me anime and Hot Topic vibes, and that is Vampire Penguin in the Central West End. Am I wrong about the vibes there?
I think you were exactly on point. It seems to be what they are going for at Vampire Penguin in the Central West End. It's a shaved snow concept. Mm-hmm. So, Elaine, you know, a lot of Asian desserts actually are like a shaved ice.
Yes.
Korean bingsu is the one that this seems most reminiscent of. Like Filipino halo-halo is more of like a shake. This is more of a pile of really delicately shaved ice with different toppings on it. If you've been to the new Gerard Craft Barbecue Place, Expat in the Foundry, they have a similar ice, shaved ice dessert on the menu that's really good. It's really light.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of, it's ice. So there's only so many calories you can infuse into ice, right?
Right, right.
But they will try their darndest with this. And
yes.
A variety of different toppings there that seems pretty cool. And like they are going for exactly what you're going for, Elaine, mm-hmm. with the Hot Topic vibes.
Yeah. And Mexican candy is the one that I want to try, minus the watermelon because I'm allergic, but otherwise, it sounds delicious.
It does. It does.
So let's talk about a couple of women who are setting a very particular kind of standard with a new James Beard category, and that's for Outstanding Professional and Beverage Service. So two finalists, two semifinalists, that is, both women, both have previously been guests on the show. Tell us about these semifinalists, Abby.
Yeah, Alicia Blackwell Calvert is the beverage director and master sommelier at Madrina in Webster Groves. And Natasha Bahrami, she owns the Gin Room on South Grand, not far from Gelateria, which we were talking about earlier. Both women who've been working in the St. Louis beverage and hospitality scene for some time. And it's incredible because the James Beard Awards will often divvy awards up based on region.
Right.
This is a national category.
Oh, okay.
So it looks at people around the country. And mm-hmm. on that list, two women, self-identifying women of color, on this list from St. Louis, who happened to be friends with one another, by the way. Alicia's actually the first person who told Natasha she was on the semifinalist list. She sent her a text message saying congratulations. And I spoke to both of them about this award, which is for not only the work that they do and the high standards and creativity that they have, but the consistency, innovation, and the efforts they have put forth to create a sustainable, better work culture in hospitality and beverage service specifically. And it was wonderful to see how many great things they had to say about each other.
Yeah, I heard some of your interview on the Gateway podcast, and it was wonderful to hear how happy they were for each other, and how excited they were to move the region forward insofar as, you know, recognition for this kind of work. So as we close, I want to get to another trend that does have to do with drinks. So the last thing I want to talk about is the trend in speakeasies. Jessica, take us back to the 1920s.
So this month we got a new speakeasy within Urban Chestnut's Midtown location in their beer garden. There's a little beer hut. You go behind that beer hut, and you'll see a black door, and if the red light is on, there is seats at Keep Quiet, which is brought to us by Manny Negron, like Negroni, as he pointed out.
Super cool last name.
Oh, yeah. And he owns Little Lager, which is this really tiny little Princeton Heights lager-focused beer bar. And he'd always been like, I want to open a, you know, experimental cocktail lounge. One thing led to another, and Keep Quiet was born. And this is kind of just the latest in a wave, a small wave of speakeasies that have opened in recent years on South Grand. Everything's on South Grand. There's one from Meredith Berry of Platypus and the Netflix show Drink Masters and Michael Fricker called New Society, which is underneath their natural wines and bottle store. And then in City Foundry, Gerard Kraft opened a speakeasy called None of the Above, like in the tunnels underneath the City Foundry. And, you know, why is this a trend right now? I think it's become like a really interesting way for people to do like the most experimental cocktails. And then also, you know, there's just this fun, like,
experiential.
Secret code experiential thing.
Yeah. Well, now that people are out post-COVID, now they want to make it hard to find places.
Yeah, right. But then they can also still get those intimate gatherings that we are still seeing people kind of gravitate towards. It's like in your own home, but a cooler version of your own home, like the coolest basement you could ever find.
Right, right. Well, thank you both for this roundup of new restaurants and speakeasies that are open and closing and opening again. Abby Lurico is morning anchor and host of the Gateway podcast here at STLPR, and Jessica Rogan is our digital editor. Thanks again.
See you next month.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw and by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Recorded and edited by Alex Hoyer. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.